May God grant it by His grace that we are part of it when this great gathering takes place, when all the redeemed from the time period of the Old Testament and of the New Testament together meet the Lord. That means that we together celebrate the marriage supper with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all the redeemed in glory. May God give grace that no one of us will be missing on that day. It is worthwhile to make every possible effort and to be part of it. And he who is ready, like Abraham, to leave everything behind, to then reach the destiny, he will reach it. But it belongs to it, to everything what could hinder us, that we leave it behind. They come from the east and west. That's how we sung it. They come from the south and north. And we believe that they will fill the hall in glory. And it's really upon my heart that all who hear God's word in truth and who have become believers, that they walk the whole way with the Lord and reach the destiny. Paul, at the time he said, I again suffer birth pains for you, to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. And we believe that the Lord has taken care for and that he will take care for us until the end, that his own reach the destiny. We were reading it in the Gospel of John, that all whom the Father has given, they will come, and no one of them who are God's possession will get lost. The only difference, and this we must emphasize for the truth's sake, the difference between getting lost and not getting lost, there is really this one difference, whether one has part in the first or in the second resurrection, whether one has part in the first resurrection, in the rapture, in the marriage supper, in the millennial reign, and sits with Christ on his throne and rules with him, or whether one is accepted at the last judgment because one has received eternal life by the faith in Jesus Christ. Certainly, whoever believes in him, believing in him scripturally, and has made the experience that the sin and guilt was forgiven him, he doesn't get lost, but he was certainly saved. But we would like to be truly part of the first fruit and participate when the Lord takes his own home. Then we want to be part of it. I believe this is the whole purpose of this proclamation that God has entrusted to us. Do you all believe this? I believe it with all my heart, because only there, where the full truth is preached, there it can be believed. Only there, where it is believed, there it can be experienced. That's the only way. God has a principle. He has ways and means. But we must always keep in mind that those who want to stand their ground before God, they have to walk the whole way in obedience with him, to then, by his grace, reach the destiny. I had given you already yesterday the report of my last Africa trip, so it's not necessary today. God has opened doors. He blesses. And we just wish that it also could happen here. As Brother Rus already said, whoever doesn't come in the name of the Lord, but in the name of a church or in his own name, with pomp and gloria, he's received, he's jubilated, all the world hears him. But whoever comes in the name of the Lord, he is not heard at all. He doesn't exist for this world. But one thing we may believe, all who are ordained by God for eternal life, they will hear the word of God. They will believe as the scripture says, and they will reach their destiny. It seems like, and it doesn't only seem, it is so. Everyone must find his place and take it. Whoever wants to follow the Lord, let him stay on the side of the Lord. He doesn't stagger to the left or right, but let him come to the Lord and follow and serve him. Then maybe as the last thing, I said it already last night, whoever would like to participate in the Israel trip, please let us know today, because the number is almost complete. May God bless us all. Let us continue also from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, namely verse 63. I will read some scriptures today and continue with that, what we looked at last night. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's how it must become in us, that the words of God are spirit and life, this we know. The question is, did they become spirit and life in us? Have we fully received them by faith? Did they become a part of our divine life? Because also here, Brother Rus read a wonderful verse, as Jesus said, as I live because of the Father, and then it continues, until we also are included. I read this verse. It is verse 57 in John 6. Yes, verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. As God was in Christ, Christ must be in us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not a doctrine, not an idea, but God manifested in Christ, and Christ manifested in us. Divine reality, not just a repeating of scriptures, not just reciting of quotes, but divine reality in our life. And I wish it for me and for all of us, that we truly have an encounter with God that changes our whole life and produces God's life in us. I would like to read on also a well-known word about the house of God, the church of the Lord. In fact, to speak about the thing of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the well-known word from verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let me read also the next verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Whoever wants to understand these verses, he must perhaps read from verse 14 in the same chapter, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?
Oder was hat das Licht mit der Finsternis zu schaffen?
And so forth. The time of mixing has found its end. Believing and unbelieving does not fit together. And there are even believers today who think they could convert the unbelievers. There are young people, and this is just a few hours ago, perhaps 2 or 3 days and a couple of hours. There are still people who are believers of young age, and they think when they meet an unbeliever, when they become friends with them, that they then convert them. This many already have thought. Firstly, no man can convert the other. Conversion comes only from God. But if the one stands on higher ground and the other is deep down, and the one wants to draw the other, who will pull who? The one standing up, pulling the one up from below, or the one who is down, pulling the one up down? One jerk, and the fall is great. Beloved, we live in a very serious time. Really, such a time of the total separation was never before as it is now. It is impossible to separate oneself, for then everything breaks down. We must have our full consent, our yes, toward the Lord. Without that, we would have to make efforts. It must have become a part of our divine life. Therefore the question, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? What agreement has the church of the living God with all the others? Or God's word with the words of men? We could make a whole list of them. Therefore, the admonition, having therefore these promises, what promises? That God calls out, that he wants to dwell and walk in us, that he wants to be our Father, and we shall be his sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom. And most certainly, we all learned it already or came to know about it. There is a big difference between a lip confession and reality, and this many times, even with believers. One can say things and being convinced of it, and yet it doesn't have to be so. But when it comes to it, that our testimony and our life, our devotion, our everything really has found that place which God ordained for this cause, then it will go well. How many say, I serve the Lord with all my heart, and I don't do it? How many say, my whole life belongs to the Lord, and it's not so? How many say, all of my time, my everything, and so forth? Only then, when it's in agreement. How many say, I love everyone, and at the first thing where it matters, then it's manifested that it's not so? God wants to bring us there, that we truly, that what He promised, that we truly received it. And when we received it, then it will be manifested in our lives as a divine reality. After last night, I would like to read some important scriptures to show us the parallels from the Old to the New Testament. There were some very important events in the plan of salvation in the Old Testament. The one was the exodus of the people of Israel out from Egypt, when the blood of the lambs was applied to the doorposts, and the Lord laid His own out with a mighty hand. The other was the leading in, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, into the promised land. Then came certain time periods. It went up and down. And then came the threat that the people of Israel would be 70 years in captivity, but that the Lord would bring them back again after this time, and that the temple would be rebuilt, and so that He would receive His own again. Also, this was a very special time, the time of the leading back. And you all know that all the equipment was taken out from the temple before it was destroyed. And later on, all the equipment that belonged into the temple, they were brought back. If we look at the New Testament church, all the gifts, all the fruits, everything got lost. The church was destroyed. But God said, I will restore. God wants to rebuild. He wants to give back, namely all that what was originally laid into the church. This belongs into the church, and this must return into the called out church. This is to be understood under the term of restoration of all things, as written in the book of Acts, chapter 3, from verse 19 to 21. Not only a calling out, but a calling out for a divine purpose. The church has a divine purpose on earth. She is the manifestation place of the Almighty God. In the church, the divine order has to be reintroduced, not by me and not by you, but by the Lord, who is the head, and who says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me read some important scriptures. I start with Zechariah, chapter 2. Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 14. maybe even to 17. Zechariah chapter 2 from verse 14. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. There are words of the scripture that are already fulfilled. There are words that prophetically seen have a twofold fulfillment, and there are such that will still be fulfilled in the future. What is important here is God has given promises. He gave them for Israel. He gave them for the church. What was promised for Israel will be fulfilled on Israel. What was promised to the church will be fulfilled on the church. A parallel is always there. The people of Israel, God does not look at them when they stay in New York and are scattered all over the world, but he looks at them in the land of promise, namely there where it belongs. There they have to return when God, the God of Israel, will reveal himself again to his people. Then they will be in the land of Israel and not somewhere. It will be there where God has laid the promise. Right there it will be fulfilled. And therefore, this wonderful statement here in verse 16, and the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. I don't want to speak today about the subject of Israel, for this we are not here this morning. We spoke often enough about it. But how many proposals were made according to the Balfour Declaration to give to the Jews land here and land there? There were men who stood up and said, you can keep the land which you want to give us. God has given us the land, and thereto we want and must return. God has a certain order. Who of you knew that Uganda was suggested? Whoever reads history, he can look it up. There came some proposals, but there were men of God, for my sake in the Old Testament sense, who said, leave us alone. God has promised unto us the land of our fathers, and thereto we want to return. And that's how what is called Zionism came into being. But these people had a biblical foundation. And I just want to emphasize here one point. Also the church of the living God cannot remain scattered in confusion and then count with that God will do everywhere to the people after their own fashion. God calls back upon the holy ground of promise, and only there where we can place ourselves upon the ground of divine promises, Only there God will speak, work, and answer. What did he say? The place that I will choose. On that place I will put my name. And there I will have fellowship with you. God has a church as his manifestation place. It got his name revealed by revelation. By revelation they received understanding about the name. And only there, where God chooses, where he can reveal his name and his word, where people believe him and hear what he says, where not people have to say so, but where God has to say so, where he can render his plan and where he can reveal his thoughts. Only there God will come to the completion with his own. There's really only this one possibility: to return to the Lord. Then it says in verse 17, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Let me read on from the following chapter, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor, under the vine and under the fig tree." We see here already the bridge up to the millennial reign. One can read it in Isaiah chapter 66. But what I want to point out here is the following. Here it is about that in the Word of God, certain processes, certain things have been foreshadowed. Here it says, "Ye are a symbol or an example. You are men wondered at, to that what will still happen. I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And here it says, "of the seven eyes." Whoever reads in the book of Revelation, he reads of the Lamb with the seven eyes, the seven horns, reads of the seven spirits of God. He reads of the number seven over and again. But God has only one spirit. But there were seven church ages, and seven times the Spirit of God worked in a special way. God showed all this already in the Old Testament. But most people don't see it. If you read chapter 4, then it's very simple to see. Here it says in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, "And said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof." Already in the Old Testament, not only Moses made the golden lampstand, worked out of one lump. The golden lampstand was made out of one lump. Nothing was taken away and nothing was added. Here, the prophet Zechariah saw it in view of the New Testament church. John saw in Revelation 1 the one who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks, who held the seven stars in his right hand. The fulfillment of that, what was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, finds fulfillment in the New Testament. A bowl of oil, very clear, the vessel also. Oil speaks always of the Holy Spirit. Above this golden lampstand was the bowl of oil. It's the age in which the Holy Spirit works. Jesus said, "If I don't go from you, then the Holy Spirit cannot come. But if I go, then he will come, and he has come." And the Holy Spirit was at work throughout the whole time period of the New Testament, which goes through seven special epochs in the plan of salvation. This is indicated by this, that from this bowl of oil, seven pipes come down to supply the seven lamps with oil. Therefore it is written, "Do not harm the oil and the wine." Both must remain. Revelation by the Spirit and stimulation because of the divine revelation which the Lord has given. The Church of the Living God. And let me become personal here in the name of the Lord. For under the term church, one could imagine a great umbrella under which everyone goes when it becomes hot. Not only church, but every individual that belongs to the church must have received this divine revelation by the Holy Spirit. It is of no use to the general church if you personally did not receive this revelation of Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Then you just repeat what others have said, but it is not your personal experience. And there too it must come, a living fellowship with the living God, living stones in the living building of God's house that is put together so that spiritual sacrifices can be given. Every one of us must have made this personal experience with God. Everyone must not only know that salvation and forgiveness is there, but they must have also experienced it by His grace. That we not only repeat, whether it's scriptures or quotes, that we not only repeat, but that what is written would have become our personal experience. Thereto it must come. The testimonies of the scripture are here that we line up with them. And if we lack, as the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 28, the bed is too short that a man cannot stretch himself on it, and the blanket is too narrow that one can wrap himself in it, then we must say, "Lord, it lacks, it's not sufficient, but you have the fullness. You want to reveal yourself to us. The hour is here. God wants to reveal himself to us. Everyone shall have this personal experience with the Lord." Let us read on from Zechariah chapter 6. One could go here deep into these details. But in chapter 3, we have read of him who is called the branch. And here we read in chapter 6, Zechariah chapter 6 from verse 12, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Out of the branch of Jesse, something should come forth. It has come forth. Yes, he has come forth. This root, this branch, and under his feet it shall sprout. He is not alone. Who knows what a sprout is? Who comes from the countryside? When a seed was sown, it sprouts. It comes forth. That what was sown comes forth. The first penetrating of the surface, it's called a sprout. He came. He was misunderstood by the people. But also this was the way of God. As the corn of wheat, he died, laid into the ground, and he didn't remain alone. But a great harvest will come forth through him. And right in the end, in the completion, it will be as it is in the natural. The same substance, 100% the same substance, as it is in this corn of wheat that was sown, is later on in the harvest, in every single corn of wheat. And when John writes, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, then we will be like him. Then this is 100% the truth, because as we bear all earthly the image of Adam, sometimes for all our sorrow, so for all our joy, we will bear the image of the heavenly on us, and we will be like him. That's what God's word says. Now here it says, his name is the branch, under his feet it shall sprout, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. I read on, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Here I just have to say that this Dr. Menge, translated here with his mind, correct is what is written here in the footnote. And at the same time, he will be priest on his throne. That's how it says in the original. There will not be another one next to him, but he, the same, will be at the same time priest on his throne. The Bible translators were anyway all Trinitarians. And this was a difficult thing for them, to find always the right words. Revelation is needed. We are also grateful that even there, where Bible translators had no revelation, there the Holy Spirit gives it to us amidst of all the translations. There are of course people who compare much. I think I have altogether 15 translations. But I make the best of everyone. I can understand everyone the best. And I know very well, only the Holy Spirit can everything put together 100%. Not the intelligence of a man. They have done their part. But the word of our God is still no dead letter. But it is spirit and life. No matter what translation we read, the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. Let me read also verse 15. Verse 15 in Zechariah 6. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. not only believing, not only hearing of the word, but diligently obeying the voice of the Lord. To this, I would like to read other scriptures, namely from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 47, and then some from Ezra, and maybe from Nehemiah. Isaiah, chapter 44, from verse 24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. This I like the best, when the Lord foils the babblings of the liars. But I like it even more when he confirms the word that he spoke through his servants, when he fulfills it. This I like the best. I don't belong to the people who are gleeful. This is a characteristic which I don't have. I rather rejoice with them who are well off. There should be no malicious joy with us. Here the wonderful word is written, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Something very wonderful. Who was Cyrus? He was the king of Persia at that time. And God can direct hearts like rivers of water. When the time came, and the 70 years have passed, Daniel searched the scriptures. You all know that scripture. I don't think that I have to read it, but maybe it's better. Daniel, even he was a prophet, he searched in the prophetic scriptures to know then whether the time is here. And also we must search in the word of prophecy to recognize the time and hour in which we live and to understand the promises which God has given. Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. You see, he didn't consider himself to be too good for it. He read. He was a prophet. He searched what prophets foretold who were before him, to then come to know. Revelation does not only come directly from above. Revelation can also come through the word that God had written down. And I believe this is the surest revelation. There is no revelation on God's earth that is so sure as the revelation that comes from the Word of God. Daniel searched in the prophet Jeremiah, and then came the understanding. The revelation came then while reading this word. How does revelation come to us? When we lay down and fantasize? No. When we read the Word of God in reverence and awe and ask the Lord to give us clarity and to let us recognize the time in which we live, then God will let us find the right scriptures and give us the right answer through His Word by His grace. I read on. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Beloved, we see that with this man of God, it was not about a question of knowledge to enrich his knowing. To him it was about to come to know from the Holy Scriptures what should now take place next in the plan of God. I believe this is the reason why God has revealed unto us the word of prophecy, not to enrich our knowledge and to equip it, that we would almost need a second brain for it, but to rather let us know by revelation in our hearts that this is the time, this is the day of which the prophets, our Lord and the apostles spoke. How do we come to know? By reading God's word, and the Spirit of God reveals what is written therein. In Isaiah 44, I just read again the last verse, that saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Let me read this now in reality, how it really took place. From Ezra chapter 1. Here the word Cyrus is translated as Cores. It's the same king depending on translation. Ezra chapter 1 from verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, You see how wonderful this is. When the time of God has come, then God will work on believers and unbelievers, on all who have to do a part in that what is in His plan and will. If it's a king, then God will direct his heart. When it's a nation, then God will direct the nation. But you see, as also Daniel, so also here, the word of the prophet Jeremiah is mentioned. We could read it, but you all know that it is written. Or shall I read it? So here the following was said, so that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. No matter through whom and when God has spoken, even though His word came forth by the mouth of men, whether it takes 100 or 1,000 years, whether 200 or 2,000 years, it doesn't matter. Whether it takes 70 or 490 years, doesn't matter. When God has given a word of promise, then He will watch over it and will also fulfill it in the time when it shall take place. I read on from verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. A king, you all know, Daniel had a vision of four beasts, represented the four world empires that came one after the other. One of these world powers was the Medo-Persia Empire. At this time, Cyrus was the king in this world empire. And God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, Cyrus is my servant, he will perform all my will. God had to take an unbelieving king to give to his people Israel the instruction to go there where they belong. I wished that all denominations would throw out all the children of God, and this shortly. Did you get it? Did you get it? For there are some who don't want to go out. They think they can heal Babylon, like the prophet Jeremiah says it in one place. And in the end, he must say, let us go. We wanted to heal Babylon, but it cannot be healed. Leave it. It would be good if we would read all these scriptures with a sound mind and in reverence, receiving it in us, and would then receive revelation from God. I read on. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Such a decree gives the world ruler at that time. And why does he give it? Because he has to give it. So that the word of God, as it was spoken through the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. Thanks be to God. My heart jubilates and rejoices. God lives. God works. God is still on the throne, and everything is subject to Him. He can direct the hearts like rivers of water. Let us not worry as if we would need to help God. Let us rather worry that God may help us. For only then we are helped. For that's how it is written. Heal me, and then I'm healed. Help me, and then I'm helped. What is here the condition? What is the announcement? All who are of His people. Not all, but those who are of His people. I read it again. Who is there among you of all His people, namely to the people of Israel? His God be with him. All the others could remain where they were, but the people of God were not allowed to remain where they were. They had to return. God's time had come. The holy command of the Almighty was proclaimed. The others, please hear it again. All the others could remain where they were. They had various neighbors. Medians, Persians, who they were, Israelites, all dwelt in the same kingdom. Who should arise? The people of Israel. Everyone who was part of this people, the others could remain where they were. Who shall arise now? Who shall now return? Most certainly, not all who walk in their own directions, but those who recognize that the word of our God remains forever. As we read it here yesterday from Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, and is no more. And then, cry, all flesh, all of mankind is as grass. It was a serious sermon, but it had to be preached. Also this, Brother Rus and myself emphasized earlier, all these celebrated people will one day be fired, unless they submit into the plan of God. How many dignitaries, how many mighty men were buried long time ago and are no more. But the Almighty remains forever, and all who trust Him will be with Him. His throne stands firm forever. Many thrones are no more, but the throne of God remains forever, and we will be with Him on His throne. Blessed be His name. I believe it, because God's word said so. We have here a wonderful lesson for our days, for our time. And why do we have it? Because we also live in the time of the leading back. Not that it will be misunderstood. Only God's people. Not the others. Only God's people. And God's people are still scattered all over until now. I think here on the comparison that Brother Branham made when he was called into the hospital and should pray for someone who was dying. She asked him to do so. And in the bed next to her was also somebody, and there were also visitors. And when Brother Branham said, let us now pray, then a lady pulls the curtain and, so to say, she let know that this is nothing for us. And he asked, are you not a Christian? And then she said, we are Methodist. And then he said, I didn't ask you for that. I asked you whether you are a believer, whether you are a Christian. There are Christians among the Mennonites, Baptists, Methodists, all over. But then there are no more Mennonites and no more this and that. Then they don't bear the name of a denomination, but the name of the Lord. And it's really important that all children of God in all the denominations understand now that they surely are children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ, but that then the calling out goes forth to them to no more remain there where they are, but to come out according to the scripture as we read it in 2 Corinthians 6. Ye my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, not the other peoples. Don't wait that whole churches will come to the truth and will become the church of the Lord. But wait for it that from all churches the children of God are called out, and that God opens their eyes and their hearts. What did Jesus say? When I will be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all the scattered children of God unto me. All the scattered children of God. The people of Israel were scattered. The Lord took care of that they returned. And when they returned, something wonderful happened. They began to rebuild the city wall, then the temple, then the altar, and everything at that place where it was before. Not at a new place, not new measurements, not building a new foundation, but on the holy place, the same measurements, the same order, everything 100% the same as it was before. Amen. This is God's goal with the called out church that was brought back in these days. As they returned back then to Jerusalem, rebuilding the city wall, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the altar, bringing the holy equipment, and as it is written, the glory of the second temple shall be greater than the glory of the first was. And thus it happened. God has taken care for it in Jerusalem at the holy site. This site which God had chosen, the measurements which God had given. Do you understand what it is about now? Coming out from all the Babylonian confusion. And please, may all who come out leave the confusion there where it was and not bearing it with you. Leave Babylon where Babylon belongs and leave the Babylonian mantle where it belongs. Leave all this behind. You shall come, not the traditions. You shall come out as you are and be rebuilt upon the original foundation. Paul said, another foundation no one can lay than that that was laid. Here under Nehemiah, under Ezra, under Zerubbabel, Haggai, all the prophets, they were there. Under God's supervision it was built. According to God's instructions, according to God's measurements it was built. There were no interpreters, but prophets were there, to whom the word and the will of God was revealed. Therefore we also live now in a prophetic age. We don't need any interpreters. We need the word of prophecy revealed by the Holy Spirit. This morning we have no time anymore to go into details here. God willing, we shall continue this afternoon. But this is the command of the hour. This is in God's plan to return, to put all the rubble aside, to excavate the original foundation, and there, as it was laid, to leave it there and to build on it, grounded on the doctrine of the apostles, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. This is not a new doctrine. This is an old doctrine that God has put anew upon the lampstand. And this we must understand. God is serious to do this thing in these days. Oh, that this holy seriousness would grab us. At that time, when the decree of Cyrus went forth, the people went on their way. They followed. They obeyed. They left everything behind. And they came to Jerusalem to rebuild the city wall, the temple, the altar, everything on the same place. The same temple came into being as it was before, on the same foundation, in the same measurements, in the same order. Everything was afterwards as it was before. I believe that God has let go forth a message to us about which is not argued, that shall not be interpreted, but out from which we recognize. God has spoken, God calls out, God leads back, he builds and completes his church unto the day of his soon return. And he who still needs time to think, let him consider that the time could run out for him. In the hour in which God's word comes to us, as it was determined in the prophetic plan of salvation of our God, no one needs time to think, for then the time has come. Then the hour has come to arise, to obey the command of our Lord, no matter from which mouth it goes forth, in conformity with the word. You see, Daniel was reading about it. Here a heathen king had to speak out, so that the word of the Lord, spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord stirred up the spirit of the Persian king. So God has taken care that at the right time, the right word was brought. Beloved, in this time, we have a message, a true divine message. It is the last one that God addresses unto us in this last phase of the time of grace. Everyone who is part of his people, let him arise and return to the Lord and to the word of God. Let him return to the doctrine as it came forth in the early church from Jerusalem. For thus the prophet Isaiah announced it already. The word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, and the teaching from Mount Zion, not from Rome. From there a different doctrine comes forth, back to Jerusalem, a reorientation to that what the apostles preached in the name of the Lord, and what they got revealed by God, back to the old foundation, to be built up as a house of God, in the Spirit, to bring spiritual sacrifices. God will not lay a new foundation. God will not change his plan. With God, everything stays the same. Blessed is he who understands now. This is God's hour. This is our day. Consideration is not needed. Faith is now required. Faith in what God has promised. How many scriptures could still be read to show in what kind of way God's word is now fulfilled? Can you see the parallel? God has, in the Old Testament, he had to walk various ways with Israel. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, in retrospect, all these things happened to them for our examples, upon whom the end of time has come. God has foreshadowed by that what happened with Israel. He foreshadowed and has shown the way of the church. This way we have to walk now. Let us walk on it with joy. He who is of his people will most certainly leave everything behind. I think here now on our beloved brothers and sisters from the Soviet Union. You most certainly had nothing against your fellow citizens, but you knew that you are of German origin. Now you returned, as it was said back then, into the Reich. Let me make here this comparison. No matter where we all stay, we know that we are God's children. It draws us back. The doors have opened. The way has become free. Come and return to the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, all ye who you are God's people. Come back to the God who dwells in Jerusalem, in your and in my heart, who let go forth the word from Jerusalem unto the ends of the earth. Come back. The doors have opened. The ways are prepared. God has led it in such a way. To him, our Lord, to whom we mean so much, let us thank him today, and this with all our heart, that spiritually seen, it is also now like this. The doors have opened. The ways are free. He who wants to come out must come soon, because the doors will close again in this way or the other. Our Lord said, work until I come, for the night cometh where no one can work. Now is this day. This is our day, a glorious day, a day that God has made, and all who are of His people, arise, return to the Lord, and He will bless us together from the riches of His grace. He will rebuild everything on the same foundation, and we will be placed into it, and thus make up the temple of the Lord for His glory. And He will dwell among us and will be with us, and He will also confirm it. I believe that the living God will prove Himself to be alive in our midst. I believe it, and I am fully convinced of it. He has sent His word, and then He will let follow what He promised us in His word. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. And all the people say, Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. I ask Brother Rus that he prays with us. Heavenly Father, we thank You from the bottom of our heart for Your precious and holy word that was put this morning upon the lampstand. We always see from Your word, Lord, how You were with Your own, how You took care of them, how You have brought them back, Lord. There is nothing impossible for You, Lord. All things are possible. That's how we see it in Your word, Lord. And also in our days, all things are possible, for You are still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, You can still call out Your people from all denominations, out from all confusion, and You can bring them into Your light that You have put upon the lampstand that shines brightly, Lord, in this time, showing us the way. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be to You for this time of grace, for Your precious and holy word. May it have fallen so mightily into all our hearts. May we be loosened from everything, Lord, to serve You from the bottom of our hearts. As we heard it from Your word, let us not become lukewarm, but let us walk forward in faith and in confidence, Lord. Praise and thanks, glory and worship be unto Your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.